I'm going to talk about cardiosclerosis this morning. That may not be a term familiar to some of you. I know Jenny referred to that term. You might be more familiar, some of you, with arteriosclerosis, the hardening of the arteries. Cardiosclerosis is the hardening of the heart. And so we talked about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart a few weeks ago. And I want to talk more generally today about the hardening of the heart. What is meant by that term, and perhaps I should have made these thoughts a part of that lesson, or preceded that lesson perhaps with this one, but perhaps we'll still have enough that one on the mind enough to follow this one. It's not dependent upon the other one. But the hardening of the heart. What do we mean by hardening of the heart? What is hardening of the heart? Obviously, we're not talking about the physical heart this morning. There is that physical condition. But we're talking about a spiritual condition, a spiritual hardening of the heart. Exactly 20 times in Exodus chapter 5 through 14, it is said that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. We looked at that a few weeks ago. We noticed that sometimes it said Pharaoh hardened his heart, sometimes it said God hardened his heart, and sometimes the indication was that circumstances hardened Pharaoh's heart. And what my conclusion was that I tried to present to you was that God so controlled the circumstances that Pharaoh would harden his heart. God knew under what circumstances Pharaoh would or would not harden his heart. Certain circumstances led Pharaoh to soften his heart temporarily, but then he hardened it again as circumstances changed. And so, but what does the Bible really mean by this? It wasn't talking about his physical heart. So what was it talking about? Well, the heart that is hardened is basically the center of man. The center of the intellect, the center of the emotions, the center of the conscience, and the center of the will. So sometimes we refer to it as the intellectual center, the emotional center, the ethical center, or the volitional center of man. And it's in the heart that man learns, it's in the heart that man loves, it's in the heart that man judges his actions and the actions of others, so as to either commend or condemn those actions. And it is in the heart that man basically obeys or disobeys God. Now, inasmuch as the heart involves the will, it is self-determined. In other words, everyone's heart really, finally, determines whether it will be soft or hard, and to what extent and for how long it will be soft. That's why Pharaoh, finally, was responsible for his heart's condition. He had control over his heart. He did not have to allow those circumstances to harden his heart, but he did. And even when his heart was finally softened, so he let Israel go, his heart was hardened once again as Israel disappeared or began to disappear into the distance. And so it's a self-determining situation. Physically, maybe not so much, but spiritually, one's heart is hardened because of the decision that that individual made or the action that individual has taken. Thus, it would be right to say that when Pharaoh's heart was hardened, he had made up his mind or will. He made up his mind or will. God didn't make it up for him. He made it up. He was not going to let Israel get away. And so he finally chased after them. But of course, as we know, the walls of water fell on Pharaoh's army and they perished. That's what Israel did. They were going to get away. There are three words used with reference to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. I'm not going to try to pronounce those words, and I know we're not really interested in what those words are. We're going to talk about the meaning of those words. They express the degree to which Pharaoh had made up his mind or his will, and they come at it from different perspectives. The first means to make insensible. And so Pharaoh made up his mind to the extent that he was not going to be touched or moved by anything or anybody. He was going to be insensible to anything that Moses might do or say once he hardened his heart. But of course, then there would be another plague and his heart would be softened. He would soften it. But then he would harden it again. He would make up his mind it's not going to be moved by anything or anybody. But of course, God has a way of moving an individual when he wants that individual to be moved, of touching that individual. That individual thinks he cannot be touched or moved by anything or anybody. He was moved by God, but only temporarily, and he was still given the freedom to harden his heart again after his heart was thought to be sane. This basically is the searing of one's conscience. When one decides, when one makes up his mind that he is not going to be touched or moved by anything or anybody, that is the searing of that individual's conscience. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, when he said, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." So here are some people, obviously people who are in charge to some extent, people who have influence over the actions of others, and they will be forbidding those people to marry, commanding them to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. And any appeals made by those people, please let us marry. Please allow us to eat these foods. Those pleas will fall upon deaf ears because these teachers, these who have departed from the faith, these who have given heed to the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They cannot be touched. They cannot be moved by the pleas of other people. And so that's basically what we're talking about the hardening of the heart. The second thing, to make unimpressionable. We're familiar with many uses of wax and clay to make impressions of things. When wax is solvent, you can make an impression in it. When it's hardened, you cannot make the impression. And so the heart can be softened so as to make an impression on it. And that's one of the reasons I believe that we are told to speak the truth in love in Ephesians chapter 4. Speak the truth in love, not so as to soften the heart, so that you can make an impression on that heart with the truth. If we do not speak the truth in love, if we speak the truth, the fellow is speaking in love, then we're liable not to be able to soften that heart at all. And so to harden in this one sense means to make unimpressionable. Thus, when Pharaoh hardened his heart, he made up his mind that nothing was going to make an impression on him. And not going to make an emotional impression on him. Not going to make an intellectual impression on him. Not going to make an ethical impression on him. And certainly not going to make a volitional impression on him. He was not going to change his will. Although, each time, as we have talked about, he changed his will. Once again, he would soften his will when a plague came on Egypt. And finally, of course, he hardened his heart one last time, and that was the end of his army. This is the way in which many listen to sermons. They'll go and they'll sit and they'll listen, but they made their heart so it will be unimpressionable. I'll listen, but nothing he says will make any impression on me. I don't care how many times he tells me I need to be baptized in those sermons, I'm not going to do it. I don't care how many times he tells me I need to repent, I'm not going to do it. I don't care how many times he tells me I have to believe in God, I'm not going to do it. He's not going to make an impression on me. That's the attitude many have when they listen to sermons. Or he can preach until he's blue in the face and not even faith. And there are people who will sit there for years and years and years and hear the sermons and not be impacted by them at all, though they need to be. They are so much wayside soil. That's what the wayside soil was. It was soil that had been hardened down by repeated walks of different people across it. As people walked across it, they would contact that soil, and it would be impacted, it would be hardened, and so when the soil would sow its seed, it fell on the wayside, and it would not fall down in the earth, it would be on the top, and then the birds could come and eat. So the wayside soil is this type of an individual. I'll listen, but nothing he says will make an impression on me. He can preach until he's blue in the face and not even faze me. That's the second word. The third word means to make firm or set so to be immovable. The son said, well, you can't move me off of my position. That's a hard-hearted individual. Made their heart firm, so it cannot be moved at all emotionally. Thus, when Pharaoh's heart was hardened, he made up his mind that nothing or nobody was going to change his will. And really, nothing or nobody can change your will. You can only be motivated to change your will. No one can change your will for you, because it is your will. We sometimes talk about man having free will. Well, if man has a will at all, it is free. From the time that God first created man, man was free to make up his mind to determine for himself whether he was going to obey God or not. He was the first human being to decide he was not going to comply with God's word. Adam was the second individual to make that decision. Unfortunately, Adam was not the last individual to make that decision. Cain decided he was not going to comply with the will of God, but he was going to offer whatever he wanted to offer, and God was just going to have to accept it. For God did accept it. And then Cain was jealous of his brother and killed his brother, and so he was extremely hard-hearted. He made up his mind nothing or nobody was going to change his will, and that's what Pharaoh did. Thus, when a man hardens his heart, he decides and makes up his mind that he is going to be insensible, unimpressionable, and immovable. It doesn't matter how tender you talk to an individual, no longer. No matter how much love is in your word, as you speak the truth in love, he's going to be insensible to it. You're not going to be able to make an impression on him. He's going to be immovable. He's made up his mind. People don't always come to this conviction quickly. Sometimes it's over a period where they've got questions that nobody can answer. You probably talk to some people like that. They've got questions that no uninspired man could answer, and to which some of an inspired man probably. What about those people that grew up in those foreign countries where they never hear about Jesus Christ? You know, they want to know, what's your opinion about that? I don't really have an opinion on that. All I know is, all I say is it comes short of what it's done. And if they don't hear about Jesus Christ, they can't believe in him. And if they don't believe in him, they can't call on him. And so anybody who doesn't call on him is going to be lost. That's what Paul said. And but some people, they just don't like that. I don't like that answer. That's a question that nobody can answer. Why would God create man knowing that not all men would be saved? I don't know the answer to those questions. Unless God has revealed it, and I don't know the answer. But we cannot afford to allow questions that no man can answer to hinder us from doing what God has told us to do. And that's the danger, of course, of hard-heartedness. He's in a state, one of his hardest hearts, he's in a state of hard-heartedness, prejudice, stubbornness, rebellion, and willful opposition to God and God's message. Remember King Saul. Now, before I tell you about King Saul, let me back up about 300 to 400 years. As Israel was coming through the wilderness, the Amalekites bushwhacked them. And for 400 years, God gave them 300 to 400 years to repent of that. And they never repented of it. And so God told Saul, King Saul, I want you to go up there. I want you to slay the Amalekites. King, queen, princess, man, woman, child, everybody, animals, don't leave anything living. Some people found that the punishment. But again, they had 300 years, 300 years to repent. Probably more than 300. The period of injection was at least 300 years. And I don't know how long Saul had reigned. But at least 300 years they had to repent, and they hadn't repented. They were hard-hearted people. They were prejudiced. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They were in willful opposition to God because they attacked God's people. So God told Saul, I want you to go up there, I want you to kill. Man, woman, child, king, princess,
animals, everybody.
Well, Saul did not do that. He killed everybody, I think, except a few, and Agag. He spared Agag and kidnapped Agag and brought him back. He must have left some other people alive over there because he was going to hold Agag for ransom. And he also spared a lot of the animals that could be used as sacrifices. But he was in rebellion against the word of God. God had said, kill them all. Saul did not kill them all. And Samuel had to remind him that stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft, and rebellion is as idolatry. It's a form of hardness. And so Pharaoh hardened his heart in at least those three separate and distinct ways. There are at least two other examples I want to look at of hardened hearts in the Old Testament. First of all, men were bound and determined in the Jewish nation. They made up their minds that they were going to put away their wives regardless of God's original plan. God's original plan was one man, one woman for life. That was his plan. Jesus made that clear. But men weren't doing that. Men were putting away their wives, and even in Israel, that's what they were determined to do. And so, because of their hardness of heart, Moses gave stipulations concerning divorce to protect the innocent. He didn't forbid divorce, but he did restrict divorce. He did make stipulations concerning divorce. He regulated divorce for the protection of the innocent spouse, who was almost always, if not always, the woman. In Mark 10, verses 2 through 5, the Pharisees came and asked him, that is Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, well, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss it. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. And so when God was giving the command to Moses and the regulations by which Israel was to live, he took into account the hardness of their heart. He permitted divorce, but he regulated it. You have to, first of all, give her a writing of a certificate of divorce and then dismiss her. And if she goes and marries another man and later he divorces her, you cannot marry her again. That was another stipulation, another regulation. So God regulated divorce because of the hardness of the heart of Israel. Well, there's another case of hardened heart later on, after the division of the one into the northern and southern kingdoms. The house of Israel had made up its collective mind they were not going to listen to God or his messenger. Now, while the term Israel is used here, it's talking about the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already, by this time, been delivered up, had been destroyed by Assyria. But Judah still remained. And now they have become as bad as Israel had been. They made up their collective mind they were not going to listen to God or his messenger. They were hard-hearted. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel, speak with my words to them, for you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech or hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. Yet any other nation would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. That was the situation in the time of Ezekiel. Ezekiel got his commission about the fourth year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, which I believe was the first of the three carryings of people into captivity. And so the Babylonian captivity had already begun, but not all Judah had been taken into captivity. But the very reason that God allowed this captivity of the Jews in Babylon was because of their hard-heartedness. Remember, the northern kingdom immediately went into idolatry under Jeroboam, the son of Judah. The southern kingdom had, and they only had bad kings up there anymore. The southern kingdom had some bad kings, some good kings. That king would allow Dollar Bill. This king would bring some reform, but not much. Josiah, probably the boy king who began his reign when he was 8 years old, he had the most far-reaching reforms. But it was too little too late. God had already decided, or already revealed, that he was going to allow the southern kingdom of Judah to be taken into captivity because of their hard-heartedness. And so, you have hard-heartedness really throughout the Bible. And of course, you've got the examples in the New Testament of the Pharisees who were hard-hearted and the Sadducees who were hard-hearted. Remember the Sanhedrin when they had Peter and John before them and the man who had been lame from birth and Peter and John had healed? They could not deny that a miracle had been performed. But they refused to accept the proof of what Peter and John preached. So they were hard-hearted. Don't, and I'm not saying anybody here has done it, but don't harden your heart. Soften it. Be receptive to the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to change your heart whenever your heart needs to be changed. From time to time, we all probably need some sort of change of heart. It may not have anything to do necessarily with our relationship to God. It may have something to do with our relationship to me. But whenever we need to soften our heart to make things right with an individual or to make things right with God, we need to do that. And if we're not willing to make ourselves right with man, then of course, then we need to be made right with God.